Carl Franklin's going to be talking about application state. Carl Franklin? You! It's you!
What? Really? I didn't have this on my calendar.
Well, wow. I'm sure you can just present right off the top of your head. And I'm excited to hear about application state. I've like run into problems with this where you start like building up state in a component and then you're like stuck when you have more than one component and all that. So I'm excited to see what you've got to show.
Great.
All right, let's get going.
I'm ready. So welcome, everybody. My name's Carl Franklin. I don't need to reiterate my bio here, but you can just Google me. I've been around for a long time. I'm an old guy. I've also been involved with Blazor since the early betas, and I do a weekly YouTube show called Blazor Train, and you can go there at blazortrain.com. And in Blazor Train, I actually did this content, but I build the applications piece at a time so you can understand them a little better. So I'm just going to show the done applications in this talk. But if you want to see them built, you know, one at a time, piece by piece, you can go to blazortrain.com and check them out. All right, let's get going. So what is application state? So application state is essentially where you have instances of objects that are stored in memory. And normally these would be, you know, in behind a page in Blazor, behind a component, but sometimes you want to share those things. And so because Blazor is a SPA framework, SPA applications are inherently stateful. So it's kind of important sometimes that your application knows what all those variables are, not only to be able to access them across components and pages, but just in case things happen, you might want to persist that those variables in that application state and then reload it later. So what we're going to be doing is creating a state bag. I'm sorry, did I offend somebody with that? A state bag. State bag is just a class for accessing all the object references that you want in your application. And the idea is that you get one instance per user. So one user is not sharing that state bag with another user. Fortunately, in .NET Core, we have these user scoped services that we can create. And if we create a state bag class and we put all our public properties and all that stuff in there, then we can add that as a user scoped service or a scoped service, which means we can share that between pages and components. We can inject it into whatever page we want. It's one source of truth, and it also allows for stickiness. So while we're talking about scope, excuse me, while I have my breakfast. While we're talking about scopes, let's talk about the different scopes that we can have in ASP.NET Core. We have per user instances, and this is what we're going to use for application state bag. So think session in web forms. And the only reason I'm bringing this up isn't because of the technology behind session, but the accessibility. And it was very popular in web forms to have this session object that we put stuff into and take stuff out of while the user is online. So we don't have a session object, thank God, in ASP.NET Core, but we do have the ability to scope any object to the user. So this is a per user instance. Now, a per application instance, we have these as well. And you can think the application object in web forms. This is a good place to put static data, data managers, helper methods, anything that doesn't require per user access. Okay, we have those as singletons. Singletons, we'll talk about that because in a Blazor WASM app, there really isn't any need to do a singleton versus a scope because there's only one user. But then we have just your basic class instances. Okay, so class instance is essentially transient, and that is essentially what's going on there. So if I create something at the top of my page or whatever that just lives with the page, the counter is a perfect example of this, right? You move off the counter page, you move back to it, and that counter has completely reinitialized. So you can add these instances with scope in startup CS for Blazor Server and in Blazor WASM in program CS. So in services CS for Blazor Server, we have in configure services, you can add transient, right? So this is for that class level. And you would do this instead of just creating a class level variable if you require dependency injection. So if these classes have to be set up with dependencies before you use them, this is a great way to do it. Add scoped is that per user scope. Every user gets their own instance. And add singleton is the application scope. So in Blazor Server, one instance is shared among all the users. And in Blazor WASM, it's the same as a scoped service because there's only one user. You're not going to have more than one user. It's running in the browser, right? So let's just dig into these for a minute. This is sort of repeating what I just said, but transient scope is the default for component variables. It's reinitialized on the navigation. It cannot be accessed by other components. And if you want to add dependencies, you use add transient. The user scope is services add scoped of whatever it is. It can also have an interface in front of it. So if you want to add it as an interface and then the implementation, that's good. You get one instance per user, and this exists outside pages and components and can be accessed by other components just by injecting them into the pages and components. So this is perfect for application state, and this is what we're going to use. Application scope, add singleton. It's Blazor Server only. Obviously, you can add singleton to a WASM project, but it's going to behave the same way because there's only one user. Okay. And this one instance is shared among all users. So if you look at the default template, the weather forecast service is implemented as a singleton because it's just creating some dummy data and it's not, there's no state there, right? So this is a good place for static data and methods. So the downside of transient data, which is the default, is that multiple copies of the same data are used across data page across pages. So that means that every page has their own instance of this data and one page cannot see another. And so think of a situation, well, I'll get to the situation, but synchronization headaches. This is what this will cause. And it's not one source of truth. So here's the scenario. You have a toolbar component, right? Across the top of your page that stores lists of objects that are used in the current page, whatever that page is, right? So the user maybe selects an object in the toolbar with a dropdown perhaps, and then selects a button to load an edit page below the toolbar, which then the user edits. So editing the page retrieves the selected object and allows for editing. So if the page isn't using the same object that the toolbar is using, you've got two copies of that selected object existing, and now you have to synchronize those things. And it's a pain, and we shouldn't be doing it. So the solution is to move those objects into a state bag, a scoped service, where they can be accessed both by the toolbar and the edit page. Oh, my coffee is here. Hello.
Who are we talking with?
I'm talking with the world right now.
Can I say hello to the world?
Sure. Kelly, ladies and gentlemen.
After I pour the coffee, of course.
Quickly, because I only have a half an hour, but
hi.
Here's my the one who must be obeyed. Thank you. All right. So the solution, again, is to move those objects into a scoped service, a state bag, or app state, where they can be accessed both by the toolbar and the edit page. So there are three ways to implement a state bag. One is the easiest way is with a cascading component. So the app state itself is a component. It's not a service. It's not something that you inject. It does not allow for notifications, even though the UI updates. Now, what I mean by that is when you change a property on an object in a cascading component in any page, any other page that is bound to that property is going to immediately update. However, if something like the toolbar or a page or some other component needs to know, needs to get control, needs an event handler when that happens, you can't do it with a cascading component, as far as I know. So the next way to do this is with a scoped service. So with a scoped service, you can inject it into any component that requires it, as I said, as a add scoped service. And it's useful if you need to raise these notification events, but it does require some event handling code and therefore implementing iDisposable in any component or page that needs to handle that event. Now, there's a hybrid approach, and I think this is really good because it is a cascading component around everything, but then the app state is a property of that component, and we can still get control if we want to get event, do the event handling wherever we need it, but we don't have to. And you, same with the scope service. You don't have to handle the events if you don't want to. The events aren't for updating. It's going to update because it's bound. Properties will update automatically. This is only if you need notification. All right, so for the cascading component method, we're going to create a razor component. I called mine cascading app state. Of course, you can call it whatever you want. You add public properties to be shared across components. And then you enclose the entire router in AppRaiser with this cascading app state. And then anywhere you want to use it, you declare it as a cascading parameter. All right, so let's look and see what that looks like here. Let me pull up my demo. Everybody see this okay? I hope you can. So this is just a Blazor server application. It'll work just as well in a Blazor client application. And this is called app state via component. And all of this will be available to you later. So what I've done in my shared folder is I've added a cascading app state.razor component. And let me see if I can, no, it's all right. All right, so you see this cascading value up here and wrapping a child content render fragment. So this is an easy way to say, hey, we're going to enclose this component around other things. This is the other things right there. That's a render fragment. So that's anything in the app at all. In fact, it's going to be the entire app. Now we have three properties. And the reason that I have these broken out like this is because I want to call state has changed when we set any of these values. So I've got counter, I've got message, and I've got enabled. That's it. So in the app Razor, now I have completely wrapped the entire router in this cascading app state. So let's look at the toolbar. And yes, I have created a toolbar component. And this just has a div with some styles in here. And if app state, here's our cascading parameter, cascading app state right there. And just by doing this, we get access to it. So if app state enabled, we're going to show a button with, you know, the success class enabled, disabled. So that's cool. And then we have this other button, update message button clicked, to update a message, and we're going to set the app state message to message updated at date time now, too long time string, just so that we know that's happening. Now, my main layout Razor, I've replaced this default about thing here with the toolbar. So the toolbar is going to go at the top of the page. Now, in the index page, get this, I also have access to that cascading parameter, the app state. And I've got two buttons, one to toggle enable button clicked and the toggle the update message button clicked. So this is just exactly, So two buttons, one to toggle the enabled property, one to update the message. And that's all we're doing is we're just changing those properties on app state. Okay. So let's run this puppy. and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Oh, remind me to tell you about child component. I'll show that afterwards. All right, so here's my toolbar, right? This is not an enabled button. This is just a button that's showing enabled disabled. From the toolbar, I can update the message. Now this message is on the app state, so I'm showing it here and I'm showing it here, right? Anytime I update that, it updates. Now I can toggle enabled from the page, and because it's also bound in the toolbar, that shows there, toggle enabled. I can also update the message from the page. And I have a child component that can update the message as well. And let me show you that child component. It's very simple. I just have the cascading parameter app state in there, and I'm just setting app state message equals updated by child component. That's all I have to do. All right, let's talk about using a service. So to use a service, we're going to, and what I did, you can knock yourself out naming-wise, but I created a class called AppStateCS in the services folder. And I added a public event for change notification and a private method to raise that event. And now AppState properties should be defined with private setters. And then each property has an update method that sets the value and raises the notification event. And that prevents callers from circumventing the event system. So in Blazor Server, I'm going to add it to services.cs as services.addscope.appstate. And in Blazor WebAssembly, I can do this in program.cs, builder.services.addscoped. So in the components that use the app state, I inject the app state service, I implement iDisposable, I handle app state state change, and there's two parameters, a source and a property name. So the source gets set by whoever raises the event. This is my component. And the reason I do this is so that I can check to see if it's not me before I act on it, because I'm handling it and yet I may be raising the event. But I want everybody else to get the event, not me. So I test that source to see if it's this. It's not this. And I inspect the property name, take appropriate action. Now remember, notifications aren't UI updates. UI will update automatically. Notifications are for, hey, I need to know when somebody else updates this property. So we're going to hook the event in uninitialize and unhook it in disposed. So let's see that demo. So here's my app state in services. I want to keep an eye on the time. App state in services, I have my message enabled encounter with private sets. And then I have an update method for each one. And then I'm going to call my notify state changed. Okay, here's my state changed event. Here's my notify passing the source and the property. So here's my startup. I'm going to add that as a scoped service. In toolbar, I'm injecting the app state and I'm implementing iDisposable. All this UI is the same. But instead of a cascading parameter here, I've injected app state. So on my update message button clicked, I'm going to call app state update message this, because that's who the component base that updated the message. And in state changed, I'm going to, if source is not this, that means somebody else raised the event. I can inspect the property, whatever it is, see if action needs to be taken. And here's where I hook and unhook the event. Now this is going to look exactly like the last one, except that we have this added layer of functionality where we can figure out who raised the event. All right. So it's going to look exactly the same. Here's my component. All right, let's get back to here. All right, so the hybrid state bag uses the app state service as a property of the cascading component, and it allows for persisting the state bag. Now, why persist? You want to restore the state of the application between browser visits. So one scenario, filling out a long form. How many times have you had to fill out a form? And then it asks you, like when you're almost done, you know, what was your median income in this year? And you have to go look it up. You come back and it's timed out. If you have a network outage, you accidentally close the browser, that kind of stuff. So on the client, we can use secure local storage, but and this is new in .NET 5, and I'll show you that. You can use local storage too. I would recommend, you know, if you can use secure local storage, that's great, but just think about not storing secrets. That's not a good idea in general. So you want to store just like the basic stuff that you're looking at, as long as it's not sensitive data. You get 5 megabytes of a limit of data per URL with local storage. And this is what we're going to use. On the server, on a server, of course, it's not you don't want to use a shared data store, but you certainly can persist it to a database. The downside is it requires a network connection. So here's the app state persistence pattern. We're going to choose a component that's always available, like the toolbar, the navbar. We're going to access the cascading app state provider. We're going to hook and unhook the same way we did with the service. And on the state changed, we're going to persist the app state. Now, you only want to do this in one place. That's why you got to choose one component. We're going to use the JavaScript wrapper to local storage. And then I'm going to show you how to use the new protected browser storage in a Blazor server app. And yes, it only works in a Blazor server app. So here's my hybrid. And just about everything is the same here. This is the cascading app state parameter. Here's my child content, my app state as a property. I've got a key for local storage. And also, check this out, I've got two functions, get local storage value, which just says local storage key equals value, and set and get. So this just wraps the JavaScript local storage. Okay. So back here, what I'm doing is, I'm on parameters set async, which means I'm reloading the page, I'm getting the local storage value, and I'm deserializing that with the JSON serializer, and I'm setting app state. Now, I have a save changes, which is not async, and I have a async save changes. And so if I'm saving changes, I serialize the app state to JSON and set local storage. Now this is the clear text version. So let me show you what that looks like and why it's a bad idea. In local storage, bad idea. All right. So here I've got my tools up, my application in local storage right here. I'm going to update the message. And now you'll see in clear text, look at that, message updated at blah, blah, blah. All right. Anyone can, not only can they see that, but they can change it. Like anybody with the browser tools can change this value. Message not updated. And then when I reload, they've actually changed my application state. So that's not good, okay? But let me just get rid of all of this stuff and show you that everything does work the same way as it worked before. All right, let's switch over to using the new and shiny protected browser storage. And you can see I've injected this, this is a .NET 5 application, obviously. So let me get this out of here. I'm changing my key to app state JSON protected. I will comment this out. And where did my comment toolbar go? That's great. View, toolbars, edit. Where is edit? Text editor. All right. Here we go. We will now use the new .NET 5 protected local storage. It only works on the server, and a moment's thought will make it clear why. The server is going to come up with the encryption algorithm that stores that for you. And so therefore you do not want that on the client. You don't want the client mucking around with it. On this side, when we save changes, we're going to use protected local storage as well. And this is all there is to it. Like, it's local storage, get async. We're getting a string, we're getting the key, we're deserializing that. And over here, when we save it, we're setting that JSON with that key, with protected local storage. Let's run this and see what happens. Again, we'll pull up the tools, look at local storage. Here's our clear version that was there before. Now, when we update the message, gobbledygook. Now, here's what happens. If I try to change any of this and I reload it, yep, it just creates a new app state. So basically, it's not messable. Is that a word? Messable. All right, there you go. So kudos to the .NET team, the ASP.NET core team, for getting that protected browser storage working. So in summary, managing application state is really necessary in a SPA because SPAs are stateful. You want to move required references into a state bag, implement app state as a cascading parameter, a scoped service, or a hybrid of both. And to persist, use the hybrid model because you get the best of both worlds. Now, I just want to call out Blazer Train, and this is me shouting at a passenger on my train because they're heckling me from the sidelines. If you go to blazertrain.com, there's a whole bunch of free content there, and I do a new show every day. And I also want to mention that DevExpress sponsors Blazer Train. It wouldn't happen without them, so thank them next time you see them. And thanks for joining. That's it for me. Back to you guys.
Wow, Carl, this was great. I think I have time for a few questions here.
Okay.
So one thing here that came up was this, is there a way to programmatically check to see how much local storage has been used?
Yes. And, as a matter of fact, I did show that. I don't know if you saw that, but here, app state size 75.
Ah, there it is. Okay.
It's just essentially when you serialize that string, you just get the length of the string, and that's what's saved.
Okay.
That's awesome.
System. Very cool. Another question here, and kind of related, but is how are secrets stored? And you were showing app state, but I think you kind of want to, one thing is the whole kind of encryption thing, but you also want to kind of not be sending state down to your clients as much as possible, right?
Well, yeah. So when you save state in local storage, what happens is it goes boing, 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 right? So your app updates it, it goes to the server, and then goes back to the browser, which persisted in local storage. And then when you want to read it, it has to go back through, I mean, if we're talking Blazor server anyway, it has to go back through SignalR and then back down to your client, right? So I think, 5 megabytes is the limit for a reason, that you shouldn't be storing a whole bunch of stuff in there. And it's my thought that you probably shouldn't be storing, well, you definitely shouldn't be storing anything that you don't mind the user messing with. And you saw how easy it was for me to mess with that local storage, right? So yeah. if you want to, you can persist it on a data store, just with a regular API call or something like that. And the downside again of that is that, you have to have an internet connection. And sometimes state is useful, like filling out a form or whatever. State is useful when there is no internet connection.
Or right, the internet
connection goes down.
Very cool. Well, that's all the time we have. This was an amazing overview and really good information. So thanks a bunch, Carl.
All right. Woo woo.